Welcome to the Every Day is Saturday podcast, the number one motivation show on the planet.
No more Mondays for you. It's time to make every day Saturday. Boom!
This is the podcast where we help you to accept who you are, not where you are.
On the roller coaster of life, you know we only sit in the front seat, champion. So make sure you are fastened in tight. Let's go!
Tired of feeling run down all the time during the week? We can help you make every day feel like it's a Saturday.
Let's go pack your bags. It's time to leave Averageville.
Introducing the man who thinks abnormal stands for above normal.
When you're on fire, people will travel from miles around to watch you burn, baby. We are fired up.
The host of the Every Day is Saturday show, Sam Crowley.
And welcome back to the Every Day is Saturday podcast. It's Sam Crowley. It is Sunday. So if it's Sunday, there goes our fun day. We got to talk about God. We got to talk about the Bible. We got to talk about heaven and hell. And who best to bring us down than our good buddy, Pastor Shane Harden.
Nice
Shane, welcome.
Intro. Man. Appreciate it. Great to be here.
How you doing today, buddy?
Good.
Glad to have you. Hey, there is a God. You know how I know how?
How do you know how?
Because it was 75 degrees this week one day. How about that, man?
That's right. God came out for a day.
He did. He did. Isn't that something got to do with Groundhog's Day or something, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Hopefully we'll have some more warm weather this week.
If there is a God, you know.
Nice. Are you putting him to the test?
Is that yeah. What you're saying? Hey, that's the way it works around here, man. We don't. We just keep it real, dude. We just keep it real. So anyway, my name's Sam Crowley. I'm the one that's not on the straight path to heaven, and I am with my good buddy, Pastor Shane Harden of Branches Church, branchischurch.us, who has a one-way golden ticket punched through
whatever.
The pearly gates. So we are here today. It is Sunday.
Wow.
It's our spiritual podcast, and this is where we take questions via Twitter. You can hit me up at Sam Crowley on Twitter. Hashtag every day is Saturday for our Sunday spiritual podcast. Today, Shane, I thought, oh, by the way, this is total ambush. We ambush Shane every week as well. We hit him with stuff. Don't talk about, I'm literally holding, Shane can vouch for me, a Starbucks cup of coffee.
You are doing that.
This is, we want to keep it like we're having a cup of coffee at Starbucks.
I'm just wondering why you didn't bring me one.
I don't, oh, I everything I had after I tithe, this is all I had left.
Nice.
Yeah, this is all I had left.
Nice.
So we want to talk about, how about forgiveness?
I forgive you for not bringing me a cup of coffee.
Thank you.
There you go.
70 times 7, right?
Exactly.
Hey, I don't get that whole thing, man. Here's the deal, okay? In corporate, I got done wrong a lot. I talk about it in my all my other stuff. You know, people, it is the sharks eating the sharks, man. Just stealing from you, if they can't, putting you down, talking gossip behind your back, all that stuff. And then, you know, you try to let go of that. And then we got people in our audience. I'm going to share a couple of questions with you as well. They deal through personal relationships with friends and family. Give us an overview, because I want to share a couple of scenarios with you that came in through our feedback hotline here. But give me, what's the Bible basically say? I mean, I'm trying to get a feel for, I'm all about letting stuff go. Yeah, because I don't believe in holding on to resentment at all. I mean, it's going to kill you, you know, if you do. But we're human, man. You know, let me just ask you, what's the Bible say about forgiveness? What's your best biblical passage that's got to do with that? And then what are your personal thoughts about forgiveness and how it's helped you get through your life?
Well, ultimately, the Christian life is all about forgiveness. We've been forgiven. Christ died so we could have and be forgiven. There's a lot of different things that I could say about it. Personally, I've had to walk through it in my life, just like anybody else with people. I've had to be forgiven, and I've had to forgive others. And there's lots of things out there that we could cling to. I think the best thing that I could say is there's two parts of forgiveness. There's our part. Our job is to forgive. It really doesn't mean there's nothing that qualifies forgiveness. There's nobody that really deserves forgiveness. It's just our job as a believer to forgive because we've been forgiven. And then God's job is he's faithful then to complete the forgiveness. We forgive. That's our job. God completes his work in forgiveness. And so, I mean, you could cling to Philippians. He who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it. And I also cling to God takes all things and works them together for our good, for those that love the Lord, and that's in Romans. And I think both of those passages are great passages to think about with forgiveness, because not often could we say that forgiveness has a lot of joy associated to it. It's we never truly sense that we've been forgiven or that we've forgiven others until we have the release or the weight is off of our shoulders of the pain that we feel because we're carrying unforgiveness to somebody. Does that make sense?
It does. It does. What about, I hear you when you say we are to forgive and God handles the forgiveness. There's got to be consequences though, man. I mean, looking at it from my perspective, well, let me give you a listener here who writes into the show. Situation with parents. You know, the Bible, I believe, speaks to forgiving your parents, honoring your parents, especially when it comes to forgiveness. Abused as a child, physically and otherwise. Forgave parents. Went back to parents. Parents continued verbal abuse, not any physical abuse or anything like that. Gave parents two or three times chances, right? Goes back the second time at, you know, figure adolescent forgiveness, right around high school year forgiveness, and then adult forgiveness. So figure this child is in the area of 22, 23 years old. Just cut the cord. I'm never talking to my parents again. I can't forgive them more than just, I mean, there's got to be, is there not a limit, Shane, about how do you handle a situation? What's advice that you give, let's call the girl Mary, that you give Mary who says, Sam, I'm done, okay? Because if I keep going back, they're never changing, and it's going to keep me in this perpetual state of just angst and just mad at the world.
Sam, I want to be very, very specific in this for people. Forgiveness does not mean reconciliation.
That's a good point to make, because I think a lot of people feel it does, like they do, especially with your parents.
Exactly. Forgiveness, we can forgive somebody. It does not mean we're guaranteed to be reconciled with them, meaning we're going to be like it was before, or even better or stronger. You know, like a broken bone, you put in a cast. They say once that cast comes off, you're healed and it's stronger than it was the first time. It doesn't work like that with forgiveness. We're called to forgive because if we don't, we carry the weight of whatever's happened to us. It's as if the Bible is so specific. And when I realized this, and I was trying to forgive my father who had an affair on my mother in high school, mm-hmm. and it was a tragic time in my life. And I remember I found this passage that literally says, if I didn't forgive him, it was as if I had done the sin myself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the penalty of sin is really misery, yeah, and death. So I found myself captured by not being able to forgive him, carrying it. Now, forgiveness didn't mean automatic reconciliation. I wasn't. And so for Mary, one of the things I really want to be clear on is forgiving doesn't mean then we go back into a situation or into a place where we could be harmed or hurt. Sometimes it's clear God wants us to forgive. We do our part the best we can, mm-hmm, to let go, and then we have to be able to move on or move from it. Family makes it very difficult, and I've had situations like that in my own life.
Yeah, because you hear, and I want to stay on this topic for a second, because this comes up a lot when I travel and I get talking,
sure,
in conversations with people, because I know my background, single parent, youngest of eight kids, things like that. It's amazing how many people you meet, right? That,
right,
seem that you think you had it bad, they have it bad. Parents is the real tricky part, because,
sure,
it's, you hear scripture saying you must reconcile. Or I don't know if I'm wrong, okay, because you're the Bible guy. Okay.
It says we must honor our parents, honor our mother and father.
How does that work into this forgiveness topic we're talking about?
I think, you know, honoring our mom and dad, they are, for instance, Gabriel is working through a situation it has in the past, my oldest son, on working with a coach that he doesn't really believe in.
Gabriel's what, 14?
He's 14. Okay. So as a dad, I'm watching him, and I witnessed a coach, a football coach years ago, just cuss out this team following a loss, literally said, you should leave with your head hung low. And I remember taking him to the car, and he didn't want to talk with me. He said, I'll talk with you in the vehicle. You know, we got to get to our car. And when we got there, he said, Dad, I was ready for him to be just mad.
Yeah.
But instead he said, you know how you said when I lose it or throw a fit, I'm only, I'm making a fool of myself. Well, my coach just made a fool of himself. And he was able to see the difference that sometimes forgiveness, but what I had to say to Gabriel in that, and my point is, I looked at him and I said, even though we don't have the respect for him, he's still your coach. And there's an honoring in the position. Now, would I let him speak to Gabriel like that? No.
Yeah.
And I told him, he will not speak to you like that. And I will have to have words with him about what I witnessed today. And I did. Mm-hmm. But those type of that same type of honoring happens. Sometimes we learn the very best things from our parents, the things that we want to be as parents ourselves. We also learn all the things we don't want to be.
Yeah, right.
So, and that's, and our kids are doing the same thing with us. They're watching us and they're seeing all of the great things and we want them to learn, but they're also seeing all the things they don't want to be like that when they grow up with their kids. And that's fine. They're going to have that chance to do that again, hopefully.
Yeah.
And, but honoring mom and dad doesn't mean I agree with everything they say. It doesn't mean that I let my kids would go and have full reign to build into my kids anything they want to. Because sometimes that situations, and I work with families where their parents are not a safe place. And I wish that everybody had great grandparents for their kids and they could connect to them and know that they were in a safe place, but that's not always the situation. So honoring them does not mean blind foolishness.
That's a great point. That's a great point. That's huge, though.
I mean, is big.
That removes a burden from a lot of individuals. What about peer-to-peer people in the regular life, not parents? But it ain't easy to forgive, dude. And you know what? I'm not one that I try. I used to hold a grudge big time. You know, I've changed a lot in this last 7 or 8 years. I'm no pushover, but I'm different than I used to be. But I don't want to keep forgiving and forgive. It's got to be like, dude, back off. You know,
right.
You stole from like rental properties, for example. Guys cut copper pipes out of my buildings and go scrap the metal. And, you know, they steal this. They steal. I'm like, dude,
I'm sorry.
We're done.
I just needed the money because I didn't have a coffee.
One place was fine, dude. Did you have to steal from a bunch of places? But it's like, I'm not forgiving. I mean, I'll forgive you, but I hate you is what I'm thinking in myself. Like, I want to beat the crap out of you. That's the way I feel. And let me tell you something, even in this day and age, and I'm not a guy that walks around with anger, but if somebody laid a hand on my kid, for example,
sure,
and it was something that I thought I could probably in a dark, I would knock the crap out of them. I think I would. And I'm just telling you, I'm just keeping it real. And it's not that I don't care about God and I'm not a Christian or anything like that. I need to let this guy know, you don't touch my kid, that type of thing.
Well, you know, you blurred a lot of things into forgiveness there from, you know.
Really? That's not my style, man. I'm very succinct in what I talk about.
Being protective about our children, I mean, that's a whole podcast, because there are times where, even as a pastor, I want to step forward and go,
but I'm not forgiving the guy that did. Or I'm just using
what
that as an example.
What the heck are you saying to my child?
Yeah.
Or what are you doing here? This isn't acceptable. You're to be a role model. If I'm putting you and trusting you in authority over my children as a teacher, a coach, blah blah blah. Yeah. Anyways, that's a little different for me than forgiveness. Recently, even as a pastor, I've had to walk through a couple really heavy forgiveness situations, mm-hmm. and. So they called, you know, years later, here I am, and they're like, hey, can we meet? And I thought, great. What am I going to say to this person? I really felt like I've moved on.
Yeah.
I've forgiven. I've walked away.
Yeah.
I literally haven't thought of them because I just...
Made you too upset when you did.
I had released all of that and I moved on.
How do you do that? Stop right there.
Sure.
How do you release? Because I know some of the things that just you and I being friends that have caused you some consternation, some real angst in your life and your profession. And I would love to know, I don't want it to keep the thought where you were. How did you move on from, and I think you were done incredibly wrong in some certain situations. How do you move on, though?
Well, I think in the honesty, I mean, there are times where my personal feelings get the best of me and I think, wow, how could somebody be heartless? Or how could somebody misrepresent me? Or, you know, often pastors, even in a podcast like this, there might be something said or something done and people go, did he mean this?
Yeah.
And is he?
Yeah.
Well, honestly, I am just a person like anybody and make mistakes. And I'm the first person to say I blew it. But in that, I have had to surrender. That this is the part that forgiveness is so powerful, because I know that Christ's sacrifice for me on the cross allows me to come to him and say, I blew it. And your Catholic background, it's like that moment of confession. Mm-hmm. And you say, hey, I did this, and can I start over? And I surrendered that to God. I said, look, there are things I don't understand why this happened, but I see you calling me to something else, and you're moving my family on. Help me to release my feelings to those people that might have hurt me in my past, so I'm not carrying this giant anchor around my neck into the next place. And I have a friend that always says, the rear view mirror is smaller on purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And the windshield is bigger because we're going forward. The things in the rearview mirror need to stay in the rearview mirror because they're smaller. And that's how I've had to focus on that. And really, now it doesn't work if I had to see those people every day.
Sure.
And some people are in situations like that, even with family or parents, where you're stuck seeing that person every single day that's hurting you. When my dad's affair happened, I mean, I couldn't just say, I'm never going to see my dad again. Right. I mean, that really wasn't an option. Right. I love my dad.
How old were you when you went through
that? I was a senior in high school.
Okay.
And so all through college, I went to a Christian college in Nashville, and I heard people talk about forgiveness, and then I'd go home and I'd feel all bad. I haven't forgiven him, you know, things like that.
Yeah.
But I had to find a way to say, look, I don't understand why you left our family, why you left my mom, why you're in love with another person, another lady. And but I love you. So, and because of that, I've got to lay this down. And God had to help me do that. I literally had to cry out for God's mercy and say, you're going to have to help me lay this down. And my job was just to lay it down. And then over time, God's work in my life, his Spirit has helped create forgiveness, and I can't harbor it. I can't go back and pick it back up.
Yeah.
Though sometimes I want to, or certain situations, then I have to ask again. That's the 70 times, 70 times, 70 times that I feel like I've already met that quota a couple times.
Sure.
But I feel like that's God just kept saying it. Every time I pick it up, I feel like I get burnt again by it. So why pick it up? I lay it down and I say, it's done. I pray that, you know, the Holy Spirit will help me to leave it there. And it's a process. It doesn't happen all of a sudden, but over time, I sense God doing a new work, and I know that he's being faithful to complete that work in me. You know, you asked me a question. I really want to get to it is these,
you talk so much, dude.
I know. Sorry. These people that came and, wanted to talk with me, I knew that it was probably they were trying to be released for the hurt that they had caused on my life.
Yeah.
Can I be honest and tell you, I really didn't want them to be released from it.
It was almost not selfish of them, but that's why they were doing it.
Yeah,
not,
they were.
Probably not as much to say I'm sorry to you, but to release it from themselves, yeah.
They were, and I can get pretty emotional about this because I saw the fight going on in my life.
Yeah.
I actually avoided the message and the phone call for a while because I didn't want them to be released from it.
Yeah.
How could they, one hour of coffee and they're done?
Yeah.
You know, how is that? And it's really not my job to bring justice into their life. It's not my job to be, I can't focus on what's going to happen to them. I have to trust that God's faithful work in my life is going to be faithful to convict and do the things that he needs to do in that other person's life. It's full circle. And because of my trust and faith in God, I met with them. I listened. I said, I hope this helps you.
Yeah.
I forgave you.
Did you have your fingers crossed when you said
no,
that?
No, I said, I forgave you years ago, but if this helps you to hear me say it again, you're forgiven. And then I walked away, and did I have remorse in my spirit? I thought, oh, that was so hard. I just released them. I didn't go through, yeah, but you did this, and do you realize you did this?
Yeah.
And do you realize you impacted other people?
Yeah.
That now is going to impact the kingdom of God because I'm in ministry.
Yeah.
But instead, I just had to say, you're forgiven. Move on. It's at the foot of the cross. I can't pick it up anymore. And every time I think of it, even in this conversation, my heart beats faster because I think I'm touching an area that I know can control me.
Yeah, for sure. You know, what's wild is when you talked about that situation that you knew you had that power over them. When you don't forgive someone, they have power over you, right? So it's really a paradox in the sense that once you find out now that you've got that power over, you don't want to give it up because they had this power over you for so many sleepless nights, driving in your car, staring aimlessly out the windshield, thinking, well, how could they do this to me? And once you realize, wow, they're coming to me to have that release from them, I've got the power.
Thinking of all the horrible things we could do to them.
Yeah, right? Now you're coming over to my side, man. That's awesome. Come on over. It's not that bad over
here,
man.
Hey, come on. Sometimes, I mean, unforgiveness is really, man, it can eat at you in ways. And you know where I saw it? I saw my stress level, my reactions to Kate and my children, they weren't the way that I know God's created me. So I thought, man, there's something wrong.
Yeah.
So early on, I knew I had to surrender those things. I didn't know that he'd also make me sit in front of them and hear it again and then release them again.
Right, right.
But he did that. And I never thought I would see some of the things that have happened over the last 20 years of being in ministry. I didn't know that being able to forgive my dad at a crucial moment before I went into ministry, God was going to use that for the rest of my life. And he was really showing me, if you can forgive him and love him, I'm going to use this over probably 70 times 70 with many people in your career. And I'm sitting with people helping them to be able to forgive somebody else.
Yeah.
And I love a couple that comes to me and one has had an affair. I don't love that.
Sure.
But I love that I'm sitting there and I see this person willing to forgive this incredible hurt and them to be able to move forward. Only through that kind of forgiveness is only possible through a faith in God. And I really believe we don't have the power to do it on our own.
You're saying that an atheist can't say, I forgive you?
I think they can't fully understand how to forgive when they don't realize they themselves have been forgiven for that much more. And I think it's a hard thing to understand unless you realize your life has been forgiven. I would challenge that they don't fully and completely understand what it is to be forgiven and to forgive somebody else, because the magnitude of Christ's forgiveness and what he has taken upon his shoulders for me, there are no words that we can use to describe that supernatural act.
Yeah. No, that's a great way of putting it. I mean, obviously, you know, we have people all around the world that listen to the show from all different faiths, you know, or no faith. You know, it just depends. What we do here on the Everyday Saturday Spiritual Podcast is we just try to once a week talk about having, you know, what are your spiritual gifts? How does it affect you, impact you? How does it drive your life and run your life? And we're talking about forgiveness with Shane Harden, pastor of Branches Church, Sam Crowley, host of the Everyday Saturday Podcast. By the way, you're getting a lot of love out there in the cybersphere from all the people in the podcast world for this show we're doing now.
Well, good.
You feeling it's, that on Twitter,
it's,
Facebook?
It's been fun, and I'm excited to see what's happening with it.
It is. It's good, and I think people resonate, especially with a topic like this. So let's move on. As far as keeping with the Christian thought, is there a sin? Speaking of forgiveness, I'm going to move a little bit off of what we talked about before. Is there a sin that cannot be forgiven?
No.
By God.
No.
By your God. I'm saying, because
by the God of Abraham and Isaac,
we have
the father of Jesus.
We have every religion, you know, yeah. The Jewish faith. We have, I mean, you name it. We have everybody, Buddhists, everybody listens to this show from, it's a big melting pot. The Christian faith we're talking about specifically, is there a sin you can commit that will keep you out of heaven?
I do not believe there is. I think Jesus.
Because our friend Tom told me one time, blasphemy of the Holy Spirit.
Blasphemy of the Holy Spirit is an unforgivable sin.
That's what I've been told. So this whole, you got all you pastors, man, it's like coming at me from different. No, I'm kidding. But
I would,
no, that's true. I
would
I
tell you,
a pastor,
it's a sin. But I would say, at one point, if you said, "Please forgive me for that,"
that would be forgiven.
Christ's sacrifice for you is big enough to forgive you.
Then what's the difference between a guy like you, who walks the straight and narrow, you know, Mr. Perfect.
Whatever.
And somebody out there that's just sinning every day, man, all we got to do is just say, I ask for forgiveness, right? And we're all going to end up in the same place. That's what you're saying?
You know, if we surrender our lives, and I believe, and we, this was our first podcast, yeah, only through Jesus can we be forgiven, then I believe that anybody can be forgiven. There was a definition that I had as a teenager, because this was a question that I always thought growing up in the church.
Yeah.
What is a sin? You know, define the sin.
We had menial sins and moral sins,
yeah,
in the calendar.
Yeah. And so as a
menial
teenager,
ones, yeah,
you know, I wanted to know, what was it?
Tell me what I could, like any kid, tell me,
yeah,
how far I can go.
Where's right. the boundary?
Sure. Where do
and
I cross the line?
Someone gave this, and I don't know exactly if it's... how to define this, but a willful transgression against God. So we knowingly and willfully do something that we know is not right. Okay. So if I go and I don't just walk outside and just happen to rob a bank.
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
I willfully knew I was going to go and rob that bank. Same with an affair, same with embezzlement. All those type of things don't just, oh, by chance, I just stole your credit card and spent all your money. I mean, there was a willful act there. You and God knows our hearts.
But all sins are really willful. I mean, nobody really accidentally sins.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
There you go. But if people, so if I am willfully doing something against God, it's a sin.
Yeah.
So,
which is every sin in the world.
So Christ, that's why I'm saying Christ's sacrifice is for the sins of the world.
Mm-hmm.
So when he took upon the cross our sin, he was taking every sinful act and knew that we were a sinful people that needed a sacrifice of the Son of God for you and I to have forgiveness. And that's why I say it is such a supernatural, incredible gift from God,
yeah,
his Son, for us, that makes this conversation really hard for those that don't follow Jesus. I can't speak for that. I can't fathom.
Yeah, and I wouldn't expect you to speak about a different faith that you don't.
Fathom
right.
that understanding. Yeah. My understanding of forgiveness is through Jesus,
yeah,
and I need forgiven daily because I blow it and I mess up. And I know that I have to come to Jesus and say, please forgive me.
Yeah.
And I also know that once he has, this is going to get a little theology here.
Yeah, go ahead. You're allowed. We'll give you a little.
Give me
leeway.
A little minute, yeah, here. But I know that once I've accepted Jesus into my life and I've said, I want you to save me. That's the,
yeah,
Christian word we use for that,
yeah,
to save me from my sins, then I know I am a child of God.
Right.
And this is a theological thing that I believe. Just as Gabriel and Isaac are my sons,
yeah,
there's nothing that they can do in their lifetime that will make them not my children.
Sure.
Okay. I will search after them. I will love them. Will they disappoint me? Most likely, you
right.
know,
good kids, right?
But I, just like I disappoint God, He's still my father. And so once I've accepted Jesus the very first time, then for the rest of my life, I'm a child of God. Just I blow it like any child does, but God sends his Holy Spirit to come after us in a great way to bring us back into alignment with him, just like we do as parents.
Yeah.
We see our kids kind of going off and we're like, hey, come back in here.
Come back here, son.
And we need to get you in good alignment so that you can be part of the family. And that's how it works as a Christian. I think there's days where I'm further away and God says, hey, come on back here. And you need to be in this place so I can speak to you.
Yeah, that's well put, man. And that's what resonated with me back when we first met, you know, 10 years ago or so, when I was going through some tough times. Because we don't want to be the person that we are that's in, you know, constant turmoil and struggle. It's not fun being a corporate slave, worshiping money and things and houses and cars. And it's not fun. You don't like to be that person, but you sometimes, and I'm not trying to make an excuse, you just sin just because you just, I think it's the old saying, pigs don't know pigs stink. Mm-hmm. You know, you're in a pig pen and you think you smell fine.
Right.
You know, it's until you get outside of that pig pen, and that's when you start hanging around believers, or you hang around people that, you know, have their GPS kind of pointed in a different direction. And that's what's helped me in my walk. The thing I kind of like about what I do is that I am not out there trying to be the, by any stretch, the example. I actually go overboard to show all the struggles and the flaws and the things that I go through, because I think it helps other people see that, man, you don't got to be perfect. You know,
right.
You can have a relationship, as we talked about on the video that's out there. I'm going to put on my Facebook page the thing you and I did at Branches Church last weekend. You know, it's okay to be a flawed individual. There's nothing wrong with that. It's not okay to stay there, though. It's not okay to be a victim. And when you're not forgiving somebody, you really are playing the victim role, because you're saying, woe is me. Look at me. Look at what they did to me. And it's like junk food. You know, it feels good for about 15 minutes, but you're still hungry for something else, you know?
I read recently this thing on forgiveness, and I think the author's name is Smead, and forgive me, I don't know the name of the book, but he said, forgiveness is like removing a nasty, ugly tumor to set the prisoner free, only to realize the prisoner was you, not the tumor.
Nice, yeah.
And I think that so captures what you just said. We keep it inside of us, and it's nasty.
Yeah.
I mean, we can't. It's hard to even operate in our lives.
It affects
There's no
everything.
Peace. There's no peace.
You're right. There's no peace. There's no peace. Life is hard enough, man. You know.
Right.
Hey, we're gonna wrap the show up. We're coming up just about 33 minutes or so. We're talking about forgiveness with Shane Harden, pastor of Branches Church. It's Sam Crowley, host of the Everyday Saturday podcast. Any closing thoughts? This was a good topic. Like, I think a lot of people are going to get a lot out of this. Any closing thoughts on the topic of forgiveness?
I would just say to those who are struggling or prisoned by their unforgiveness of somebody, I wish they would take some time and really consider what that unforgiveness is doing in their lives, and what it's keeping them from experiencing that I believe God wants them to experience by being able to lay that down and forgive others.
Yeah. Let it go. Just let it go.
Let it go.
Just let it go. Shane, great having you. I thank you for forgiving me for not bringing you a Starbucks.
You got it,
latte,
man.
Was excellent today, though.
Great bookend to your podcast.
Yes, 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 yes. Hey, it's Sam Crowley with Shane Harden signing off. It is Sunday, our spiritual podcast. We will see you back here tomorrow for another Everyday Saturday podcast. Make sure... do us a favor, by the way. Go to iTunes, find Sam Crowley in iTunes, click on the show, give us a 5-star rating, leave a great comment. It helps other people find the Everyday Saturday podcast on iTunes. And also go to everydayissaturday.com, click on the podcast button. You can listen to all the archives. We do a show every single day. Sam Crowley for Shane Harden. Have the best day ever.
Thank you for listening to the Every Day is Saturday podcast. Still fired up and want more of Sam Crowley? Be sure to visit everydayissaturday.com. And don't forget to follow Sam on Twitter @SamCrowley. Let Sam know you're listening. Use hashtag Every Day is Saturday.